everyone. My name's Isabella. But yeah, I'm here with Shuli Jones and Jonathan Zong. We're all part of the MIT visualization group. And we just wanted to talk about some of the things we're working on, some of the studies we're working on. We're very focused on like accessibility for data visualizations. But I think I'll let Jonathan or Shuli get more into that.
So I'm curious if anyone's had experiences where there's information that they wanted to access that was in charts. Just curious to hear from everyone, like what are some of the tools that they've used in the past to do that, whether it's been like as alt text or tables, or if there have been like a lot of problems getting information like this.
I do a lot of financial management and stock investing, that sort of thing. And there's always graphs that are displayed on the screen, which are utterly useless to me. I've never found a good way to deal with graphs. However, a lot of the services offer columns of numbers that are a substitute for the graph. They're historic lists of numbers. And I've actually learned to get very good reading columns of numbers to the point where I don't need a graph. And I think I'd rather have the numbers even if I had a choice. So I think there's a difference in the value of the information based on the format. And it's not clear to me that the graph is always the best format.
And this is Rashad. I have an issue also with the stock market accessing software from Fidelity, which is like a table, and it does not access it. It does not read it at all. Reads here and there, but not everything.
My best experience with having difficulty with data is with the COVID statistics. I never was able to find a place where I could get information reliably, you know, regularly over time in terms of what was going on with the COVID numbers. I gave up trying, and I just had to rely on news articles instead of being able to access the data.
JAWS has a pretty nice utility for reading charts in Excel, but it has to be charts that are in Excel. Does nice with things like pie charts, simple things, you know, things that are more, that have lots and lots of data points. That's a little different.
You know, COVID data was a big one because a lot of the information that was coming out in newspapers and stuff was kind of just by default presented in charts. And a lot of that wasn't accessible. I heard a story from someone where a major news outlet had posted a chart of COVID data, but they had copied and pasted the alt text from a previous article and forgotten to update it. So it actually said the cases were going down when actually they were going back up. And that's, you know, really not good. Yeah, I really liked what someone, I think Jeffrey was saying about like having different formats and like differences in value between the different presentation methods, whether that's alt text or data tables or something else. I'm going to show this tool that we've been working on that's just trying to present like an alternative format for people to access charts with. And it's a tool that we use that can convert some existing charts into these text descriptions that, instead of, you know, like an alt text where it's just a kind of a single description and you read it and that's it, it's a text structure that you can actually navigate around with your keyboard. And it'll give you multiple different kinds of descriptions of, you know, overall what the chart is, and also different sections of the chart, like the different axes and different ranges in the data and things like that. Yeah, I think a couple people mentioned financial data. I'm going to use an example that's a line chart of stock prices of five different companies over time. And I'm currently focused with my screen reader on the top level of these different layers of descriptions. So at the top layer, it's kind of just reading a description of, you know, what is this chart? And if I press the down arrow key from here.
Multi-series line chart example vertical line only window 1 of 5. A line chart titled MSFT with axes date and price.
So if I press the down arrow from the top level of the descriptions, I'm now on this description that says 1 of 5, a line chart titled Microsoft. And on this level, I get information about the different lines that are present in the line chart. So if I press the left and right arrow keys, I can go through this list of the 5 stocks that are represented in this chart.
2 of 5, a line chart titled AMZN with axes date and price. 3 of 5, a line chart titled IBM with axes date and price. 4 of 5, a line chart titled Google with axes date and price. 5 of 5, a line chart titled AAPL with axes date and price.
And so from here, if I'm interested in one of these companies, like if I want to know more about the Google stock, I can use the left arrow key to navigate back over to Google and then press the down arrow key to open up that section and get more information about that.
4 of 5. Align chart title Google with axes date and price. Collapsed selected cell. You are currently on an axis. To begin interacting with the contents of this image, press Control 1, 2, 3, 4. X-axis title date for a temporal scale with values from January 1, 2000 to January 1, 2010. Goog. Collapsed selected cell. Y-axis title price for a quantitative scale with values from 0 to 800. Goog. Collapsed selected cell.
So on this level, there's these two descriptions of the X-axis and the Y-axis, and it tells you the range of values that are represented in these axes. So the x-axis has the date information. It has the range from the year 2000 to the year 2010 with the stock's performance in these years. And the y-axis has the price information. So from $0 to $800 within this range, like how well the stock was doing. I can go into the x-axis and step through, and it'll show me different smaller sub-intervals within that overall date range.
X-axis title date for a December 31st, 1997 to January 1st, 2000. Zero values. Goog. Collapsed selected cell. You are currently on a cell, inside of a cell.
Within the interval of 1997 to 2000, there were zero values in this interval, which means that they don't have any records for how the stock was doing during these years. But if I kind of keep going forward in time, I can find where more of the data is.
January 1st, 2000 to January 1st, 2002, zero values. January 1st, 2002 to January 1st, 2004, zero values. January 1st, 2004 to January 1st, 2006, 17 values.
And then so if I want to see the data about the stock's performance within this interval of years, I can press the down arrow again.
Table with 17 rows. Table. No selection, one column.
And then I have the data for that interval presented as a table. So I guess the idea is kind of, you know, to present these text descriptions to kind of give
document details,
overall information, and help you drill down to what you're looking for. And then you can access a table with the specific numbers, but it's not all of the data as at once. So it's not, it's maybe not as like overwhelming or difficult to have to read through all the rows. That's pretty much it for my demo. So I'd love to just kind of get people's thoughts and reactions. And then, you know, maybe we can just have a bit of an open-ended discussion.
Are you still seeking participants for the study?
We actually are almost at capacity. I think there's a handful of people who are here today who are signed up or have already come through. So really appreciate that. But we are kind of trying to, you know, gauge interest for studies around this kind of thing in the future, because beyond the study that we're running right now, this is kind of an ongoing, like long-term project for us. And we want to kind of getting people's feedback and making it as useful as possible.
First of all, the table you're using, is that Excel or just any table, PDF or whatever they whoever put it together, is that?
Yeah, so the table that you get by kind of going all the way to the bottom of this structure is just like an HTML table in a web page. All of this is kind of based on a web page. Currently, you know, you're able to open that table and use your screen reader keys to navigate around that table. I will say currently it's working better in NVDA than it is in the other screen readers, but we're actively working on that.
I'm interested because I've been trying to work with Fidelity. I do trading full-time since I lost my eyes. And I'm having issue with Fidelity that their Active Trader Pro, which is the trading platform they use, is not accessible. So I have to sit down with my magnifier to read the numbers, and it's pain in the neck.
So we have released this tool as open source, so people can use it now. There's still things that we're working on and things we're trying to fix in terms of like compatibility with all screen readers. But you know, for our tool, I should clarify that, you know, it doesn't just work with like any chart, right? The source data has to be kind of formatted in a certain way. And so I think it would be hard for Fidelity necessarily to like immediately drop this into their tool, for example.
Have you tested it all with people using Linux and the Orca screen reader, which I make most of my computer work on?
So most of the people we've tested with are either on Mac or Windows. But I think that's definitely really important for us to to test.
I'm a big Fidelity customer. I will say that they do have the best of intentions, but they have all of the problems of a very large organization, and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The Fidelity trading platform would be greatly improved with JAWS scripting. However, the minimum charge for even a small script is $1,600. So if Rashad can get enough other people together who use Fidelity and make the case that it's good for the commission to pay for somebody to script that Fidelity trading platform, I think that's the best way for a solution here.
Scripting is a great tool. Keep in mind that depending on sometimes when your scripting, every time a platform changes, the scripts need to be redone. So if you're going to consider a plan of working with someone on this, keep this in mind so that you can get the results you're hoping for in completing the process.
Don't disregard agencies like the Commission for the Blind. You may have to push a little bit. Sometimes we all do, but they may have the wherewithal to help you, so don't disregard them too quickly. And if you have a counselor and you're not happy with that counselor, you might have to do a little pushing there too. So,
what kind of input is put into your system? What does it actually need to look like?
This tool is the people who make websites that have charts on them. So I'm thinking like, you know, the people who make the like interactive articles on New York Times or whatever need to include a bit of code to include our tool and then give it an input that includes kind of like a structured code description of the chart and also the data as either a spreadsheet or another kind of machine readable format. All the work in setting this up is kind of mainly with, you know, web programmers in mind right now. We're hoping that, you know, the work to add this to a website is like relatively small. And then once someone has done that, it'll be easier to kind of just make all their charts accessible. Yeah, that's a really great question from John too, because I think, you know, in this specific case, like our tool is really designed to be used on websites. So I also don't think that Fidelity could directly drop this into their program if it's a separate program. But
right.
Jonathan, I'm curious whether or not for the tool or for your work, if you're referencing chartability at all, which is the set of heuristics, you know, specifically aimed at improving accessibility and data visualization.
There's a lot of moving pieces to this accessibility stuff, right? Like we have one tool, but then there's also kind of, you know, making sure we support all the screen readers, support all the browsers, making sure that software engineers are kind of have the building blocks they need to make everything accessible. I think chartability is making a really important contribution to just like making sure, like that part of like making sure developers working at companies have the tools and like have the language to like think about like how they're offering these things.
You know, this is kind of still very ongoing and in development. So although we've got a lot of people booked for our study for now, we'll definitely be doing more in the future. So kind of if you're interested in testing these things out and giving your feedback, definitely keep an eye out and we'll probably be reaching out again.
I know right now you're doing line graphs or that kind of data. Are you doing anything where if I wanted to take this data and look at it in a different way, such as pie chart or a scatter chart or, you know, bar charts, is it something that you could add so that depending on the data, I could look at it in a different way?
So our tool does support, if you give it as input, the data and like a code description of, you know, a scatter plot. We're currently working on pie charts, bar charts work, area charts work, things like that. So it does support those multiple formats, but it doesn't help you kind of make those different charts from your data. So if someone on a website had data that they only presented at a line chart, we wouldn't be able to kind of like transform that.
Transform it. Okay.
Thanks to the folks from MIT for spending the time with us. And thanks to Nick for doing his presentation on AI chat, the biggest invention in the history of humankind.